Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Right, you guys voted for, obviously, they voted for A Touch of Necrophilia.
I'm going to say, anything, they'll just choose the grossest one.
Yeah, always. That's our patrons.
The grossest of all.
So this was recommended on Twitter by Zanab Squa. I don't know. Yeah, that's the username. And it's the story of Jerry Bridos. So he...
Oh, I know this one!
Do you? A pretty extremey, probably one of the worst we've done. Do you know what? It's so bad, it just kind of seems really surreal.
Yeah. I was gonna say, I don't want to say that I find anything funny, but it's no, I don't find it funny.
But it's like the kind of one you might like tell your friends, like, oh my god, this shocking story.
Yes.
Rather than it's not like some of them you're like, oh, that's just sad. Whereas this one is like, yes. Whoa.
Like you said, it seems too far removed from reality to be.
It's like major fucked up. So he was born in 1939 in South Dakota, and there was poverty due to the Great Depression. So he was born into a time when there was a lot of poverty, and the family we move around to try and find work in Oregon. And so his father worked two jobs. He was quite a hardworking man. And his mother was kind of abusive. So she made it clear that she'd had one older son. He's fine. And that she wished Jerry was a daughter.
And was
pretty mean to him. So she was like kind of quite physically punish him.
I mean, don't you think it's weird? Like today, people are kicking off transgender kids. Like, what's happening? We're making our kids transgender. Stop pretending. Because in the olden days, you were trying to misgender all your children if you didn't get the one you wanted. There's so many stories of people being like, I forced them to wear a dress until they were 6 years old.
Well, she didn't quite go that way because he became really interested in female shoes. And rather than being like, yay, he's doing something feminine, she was like, no, you're a fucking weirdo. Don't touch those shoes.
He's just a drag queen.
I know. Well, he's not, but he could have been life if he wasn't so mental. So his mother would destroy the shoes if she found him, and he'd like steal these women's shoes from like shops or people's houses. But he became more and more excited by the shoes. And on the documentary I watched on YouTube, that they said maybe it was kind of like her freaking out about it and then punishing him that kind of made him like mingle up like sex and violence and taboo and all that kind of thing.
So naughty dirty.
Yeah. But at age 16, he became obsessed with some girls who were living next door. So they were teenage girls. And he used to steal their underwear off the washing line. And
at least he stole it clean.
Yeah.
It's way more gross when people buy dirty underwear online.
Oh, yeah. Have you heard? Like,
they did that in Orange is the New Black, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't get that. I don't think I could sell my underwear online.
That would be the worst thing.
We'd get more because we're teachers.
Oh. Because everyone thinks like, oh, that's an easy thing. I could just wear a pair of underwear and then sell them. It'll be brilliant. But can you imagine if you got any negative feedback... That would be the worst. Like, how soul-destroying. Like, even the creeps can't stand the smell of my badge.
I mean, I hate being judged. I hate being observed at work. I hate when they ask for student voice and ask the students what they like. To go as far as, like, rating my vagina, I can't do it.
Not even, because you're only rating the vagina stank. Like, that's it. So it's either it smells good or it smells bad. But either way, it smells. Like, that's what they're after, is the smell.
Yeah.
It's just a minefield. We're best off out of it.
Well, he stole clean underwear, I guess because he could get his hands on it more easily. But the family noticed that this underwear was going missing, so they reported it. Imagine having to phone the police and like...
It could have just been like when the rat was stealing all of my socks and hiding them behind the fridge.
Yeah.
Well, I thought someone was stealing my socks. I was like, why have I only got one pair left?
So Brudos, he told one of the girls who worked with the police that he worked with the police. So like he found out that next door, I guess they'd like told the neighbours, oh, there's stuff going missing.
Yeah, keep an eye out for a thief.
And so Brudos said to one of the girls, oh, I'm working with the police. Come round and answer some questions for me. And
a 16-year-old boy.
And she's like, okay. I mean, I guess she thought it was a bit of a line and maybe he was cute or something. But she went round and then he... Basically, he was like, hi, come on in, ran out the back, came back with a mask on and had a knife and went, now strip. So made her strip, took photos of her, ran back out, came back in like, oh my God, a guy just locked me in the shed. And she was like, what the fuck? And so she didn't report it, even though she knew, of course, it was fucking him, like... But, like, imagine thinking that that's going to work. And she's like, oh, God, poor you.
Oh, just run out the back door. Some weird come guy. Come back with a fake moustache on.
And I don't, like, exactly the same height and wearing the same clothes. What the fuck? So, I shouldn't laugh. It's pretty horrible. So then she didn't report him. So if she had reported him, maybe it would have put a stop to this or at least something. But then he got a record quickly afterwards and that didn't make any difference either. So he beat up a girl who lived locally because he asked her out. She said no. And so he became violent and she reported that. And he was arrested and they sent him to a hospital for a while. And it's actually the same hospital where they filmed One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. And but it wasn't as strict as in that film. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
But they let him go to school during the day.
Oh, that's fine.
Like, after school. Imagine if there's a guy in your class who was like off to the insane asylum for the night.
What an interesting idea.
I guess they didn't want him to miss out. They'd be finished with no qualifications anyway. So then they let him out of hospital. He joined the army. They sent him out for being weird. So he went back to his parents' house. And he began working as a bit of an electrician, but he was assaulting women on the side. So he was like choking them and then he'd steal their shoes because of this shoe fetish. So I think he'd maybe approach them, ask them out.
It was a shoe fetish, not a foot fetish.
Definitely a shoe fetish. Oh no, actually a bit of both. Mm. Imagine like having a fetish for something, but like, because he goes deep into the foot thing. As you can probably imagine. Imagine being like, oh, I really like lips. But like when you imagine a pair of lips, you don't imagine them isolated from the body. Like it's a part of a face generally, isn't it? Like if some guy's got a nice arm, you don't think of like, oh, I'd love to have them decapitated from the body and then I can like jip off with them. Like it's always...
That is so true though. Yeah. There's things that I really like about Tom, but it doesn't make me want to slice them off.
Yeah, it's fucked up. So,
if the rest of you could just fuck off there, leave me and this right nipple alone.
Never the left. So he hid the crazy for a while. Like, he played normal for a bit because his friend set him up with this woman and I guess like things move faster than anyway, so he didn't have to hide it for as long.
Well, it's so disappointing that it had to get extreme, because if you're going to have a fetish for something, shoes quite an innocuous object, like you can get hold of them. Yeah. It's not, you
have
don't
a lot
need
of
to chop off a foot in order get to a get
job
a
in,
shoe.
Get a job in a shoe shop.
Yeah.
Like that Brilliant. Guy in Sex and the City starts like licking her toes and stuff. You haven't
seen it.
I haven't
seen it, no.
Yeah, but like perfect.
Yeah.
Work around shoes.
Chiropodist.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
So he got married to...
Bouncy castle supervisor.
Oh, why is that for?
Because everyone has to take the shoes off before they go on.
Oh. Yeah, mostly children.
They just stand there and watch the shoes.
Watch the shoes. Like, yeah. He got married to this woman that he'd gone on a date with, but he very quickly became weird in their marriage. So he used to tell her to do the housework naked, apart from wearing a pair of high heels. And at first she was kind of like, yeah, I'll go along with it. Like, it's obviously his thing, but And then he used to take photos of her in sexual positions. And after a while, she just decided she wasn't having any of it anymore. She gave up on kind of trying to meet his needs. So she just ignored him. So he began to secretly wear underwear, like women's underwear, under his clothes. And he'd take photos of himself in the underwear and then he'd just leave them around the house for her to find. But then she'd just find them and be like, don't give a shit, and just leave them there and completely ignore them.
So he did want to freak people out, like you said about the mum thing.
I think he liked the idea of maybe getting caught. He liked the idea of, I don't know, I think he was just, oh, I don't know, like really sexually excited by extreme taboo.
Yeah, so he wanted it to be forbidden.
Yeah, I think so. So his first murder was Linda, who was in January 1968. So Linda Slauson, she was a woman who was going door to door selling encyclopedias, which is very like, that's in Friends, isn't it? Like Joey buys.
How does he work?
Joey buys like an S encyclopedia in Friends, can you remember? And he's got loads of facts with one specific letter and they're like, because he was a door to door guy and he can only afford one. But she invites her in. It would
You're
be
like an encyclopedia
for bad TV.
Late 90s.
Exactly. Comedy. Those were the TV eras. But he, yeah, it would be really heavy though, having a whole set.
Unless you just sell them and then you have to post them.
Maybe. So he invited her in and then he knocked her out and then strangled her. And his wife and children were upstairs at this point. And this is an opportunist killing, obviously. Really awful. So he goes upstairs and says, here's some money, go out and do something. Just go out, arrange.
Just step over this sleeping woman.
Yeah. And then, well, she's dead at this point. So he has sex. He dresses the body up in like sexy clothes. He has sex with it. Takes photos of it. And then he cuts off one of the feet and he keeps it in the freezer and he gets it out every now and then.
Again, it's the little things that are the most disrespectful, I feel. Like, he's going to have... You're already dead.
Mm.
And he wants to have sex with you. The fact that you're, you know, a corpse isn't putting him off, but the outfit you came in wearing isn't good enough. He's got to dress you in something else. Like... His standards are really upsetting.
So he dumps her body in the river and it's never found. Basically, this he starts on a bit of a spree now. I mean, it's not like day to day. There's months in between, but he just keeps going. November 1968, he came across a woman whose car had stalled on the side of the road. And he stops and he says, right, I'm going to fix the car, but I need some parts. Come with me. I'll go to my house and get them. Which, honestly, I would probably do. Do you know, like, if I've... It's not like some guys approach me. My car's stalled. I need help. Someone's offering to help me. I mean, one time I drove into a ditch and this guy was like, do you want me to pull the car out? And then I was like, I don't know where I'm going. And he was like, follow my car. He could have just driven off in the middle of nowhere. And I don't know. I would go along with it because I need help at that point and I'd probably be like, oh, what a nice person.
I suppose it depends on the circumstances. When I broke down, I was stood at the side of the road for a long time. People did keep pulling up and saying, are you okay? But I was like, I'm waiting for my mum. I was like 25, but I was like, I'm waiting for, like, I wasn't going to do anything until my mum had got there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it depends if I was really but far away, then like I wouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah, if it was dark, if you knew your mum wouldn't... I mean, she wouldn't have had a mobile phone either. She would have just been pretty much...
Well, I was stranded for fucking ages. I was fuming because it was a Sunday morning, so everyone was in church. So everybody's phones were off.
Oh, like, shit.
Hours and hours.
And those services go on.
Go on. Oh, don't tell me it's a healing service. Fucking healing is never quick. like, it's, you know, one of those ones where they say... Let's not leave. Leave if you want to.
Yeah.
But we're going to stay.
God, we dare you.
We're going to stay until the Lord is done. And no one ever dares to... You don't want to be the first to leave because then it's like,
well, I've got dinner on,
I don't care. And Jesus is never done until somebody is crying. So we have to just wait until someone breaks down into tears.
I remember the days.
I hated those ones. I just...
It is like...
Don't feel you have to stay. But if you are staying, then you need to be... Oh, my God, please. Everyone wants to leave. We all want to. It's like a weird episode of Survivor, like who can pray the longest.
Yeah, it's true.
And no one's praying! Who are you fooling?
We're all waiting for this woman to cry. Come on. Keep singing till she does. We'll go acoustic, that might work.
Oh God, we're cracking out the old hymn book. We've run out of songs.
So he takes her home. Well, he's about to murder this woman.
So
he basically he's given her a lift to his to get the
that
tools. Yeah. So then he gets out, gets the tools, and then he like sneaks quietly into the back seat of the car, and then he grabs her from behind and he strangles her, and then he rapes her body, takes her in the house, and he literally just like Texas chainsaw style just hangs her body on a hook, and then he leaves it there. So he keeps it there for sexual gratification for about 5 days, and then even like the family go away for a weekend and he leaves his body just hanging on a hook in the, I mean, no other fucker must be going in this garage. But while they're away on this little mini break, someone accidentally drives into his garage door and like causes a bit of an accident. So the neighbors see it and they phone the police, and the police come round to investigate this accident. And like they like maybe like poke their head around, but they didn't walk into the garage because it's locked. And so like they're this close to this body and they're no idea, they leave and it's done, and he loves this, he's getting a right thrill, like he comes back, the police have been around, they didn't find the body, like it's, that's a real thrill to him. So that, oh, so grim. So then April 1969, so this is only a few months later, he tries to kidnap Gloria Jean Smith, and she gets away and she reports the crime, but she can't say it's him because she doesn't know who he is, it's just a person. Then the next day, Linda Saley goes missing from a car park in Portland, where he had got a fake police badge and he'd shown it to her and convinced her to go with him, because every time someone tries to run or something, he kind of like, he doesn't like a fight.
So he just lets them go.
So then he thinks, if I've got a fake badge or something, then I can lure people. Oh, I don't have to, like, if I can convince them, then it's not like I'm kidnapping. It's like I'm luring.
Because, yeah, eventually, if you've got the knife, some people will be frightened to do what you want, but some people will just run scared.
So then he tied her standing on her toes, and he photographed her, and then he killed her. And her body's found weighed down in the river a month later. May 1969, Brudos kidnaps Karen Sprinkler, and he holds her up with a toy pistol. So he's got, like, a toy gun. I mean, I guess you wouldn't even know, would you? You wouldn't even check. You'll be like, come on then, shoot me, let's see. And he tells her to pose for photos, and he hangs her while he goes and watches cartoons because he's interested in the body. And then he comes back and it's so awful. He cuts off her breasts, and then he takes her breasts because he wants to keep like a memento, and he makes like a cast of them, and his plan is to put like bronze in them to make her like a statue.
You could have done that when she was alive.
Oh, God. Awful. So her body is found a month later in the river as well. So he targets a woman called Sharon Wood. He holds her at gunpoint, but she resists and she flees, and she lives as well to tell the tale. So there's a couple of witnesses now who've got away. So soon after this, he kidnaps a 12-year-old. Oh no, sorry, that's Gloria Jean Smith. So when he kidnapped Gloria Jean Smith, so that was in 1969, who got away. Also, a neighbour saw him as well. So there's a few people who've witnessed him. Like, this neighbour saw him walking this girl to the car, and obviously she's upset, she doesn't want to go. And that's when he just, like, lets go of her, runs off, because he doesn't want any witnesses, he doesn't want anything funny. So the police start to notice that there's bodies turning up, for one. But when they're investigating these murders, and obviously people in the area know about these murders, you know, people are talking about it, it's really scary. But they find that there's a really unusual knot that's been tied every time. And they've got, obviously, the bits of rope that they take from the bodies from the water. Because they were in the water, in the river, it's quite hard to kind of work out what's been done to them, and they don't maybe know that it's completely sexual. But they start interviewing women around the area just to see if they can find anything. And when they're interviewing women, a few of them start to mention this weird guy that they've come across. And one of them says that in particular, there's this guy that she's seen a few times and he likes to talk about these murders and he gets really sort of like really like obsessive about them and starts talking about the women who've gone missing. Oh, I bet he's done this and I bet he's done that. So the police say to her, if you see him again, phone us and then we'll just come straight over. And she does. So that she sees him again. She phones them. She says he's here now. They go straight over and they take him in for questioning. So they do background searches and they find these previous charges that he's got against women. But they haven't got any evidence at this point. It's just a weird guy.
Yeah, you're a creepy man and you're in a creepy situation.
Yeah, but fair play on them for chasing up creepy guys. I think that's reasonable. So they go to his house, but they haven't got a warrant. So they sort of nosy around. He lets them in, but they can't take anything. And they spot a rope there. But they're like, oh, we've got no warrant. If we don't take it now, we're going to be stuffed. But if we take it now, obviously that's unlawful. Mm. But Brudos sees them looking at the rope and he's like, oh, you're really interested in this rope. And he says to
him, he can't resist showing off.
He says, why don't you have a piece of it? And he fucking gives them a bit of this rope. And when they look into it, it matches the victims. Because he just thinks he's so like clever, they'll never catch me.
Yeah.
I guess he probably doesn't know about the likenesses. So he's just like, yeah, take a bit of the murder weapon. I don't give a shit. He probably gets off on that. Like, oh yeah, they've got a bit of the rope. I love that he thought,
these policemen just rope enthusiasts. Yeah. Why else do you think they're going to be interested in the rope?
So then,
you'll like a good rope when you see one.
Yeah. So then they show the 12-year-old girl, Gloria Smith, who had escaped him, a load of photos of different men, and one of them is Brudos, and she identifies him as the man as well. So then they've got this information. So he's arrested, but they haven't got a lot on him. When they arrest him, he works out that they're after him, so he has tried to run away. So he goes off, he drives off, and they catch him, and he's like hidden down in his car, and he's wearing silk ladies' underwear as well. I want to undress him. I've never had a pair of silk underwear, do you think?
No, you wouldn't want the static electricity, would you?
No. So then that he does confess. So 3 days later, so the police kind of play into his wanting to show off about the crimes and, you must be really clever if you think, like, and sort of like big him up and try, give him the spotlight. And he does eventually confess 3 days before he's supposed to go to trial. He pleads guilty for 3 murders and he receives a life, 3 life sentences for this. And he dies in prison in 2006. So, like, a pretty grim, horrific one. Like, it is the stuff of horror films, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like when you think about it, it's actually terrifying.
Incredibly gross.
Ugh.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
So you voted for it, you got it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. I don't know, fuck it, leave that.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.